You know, it was interesting how that the way these conferences got started. The prayer center in Tulsa was having two conferences a year, March and October. Well, then they cut it back to one conference in October. And there were some people who said, oh, we really missed that, you know, March conference. So I prayed about it, and the Lord led for us to start having a conference, you know, in the spring. So we would have one in the spring, and then they'd have one out in Tulsa in October. Well, then the day came when they weren't having the conferences at the prayer center at all. It wasn't because there was a civil war within the prayer center and everybody hated each other. I mean, it wasn't like that. But I won't go into all the story. Nevertheless, they weren't having. So anyway, we're the ones that are having the services now. And, you know, I thank God for it. Not because we didn't do it just because we could. There's a need, a real need. And, you know, Harry created a video of images and so forth from throughout the week, and he put a song to it, Pour My Love Out or something like that. And I'm watching this morning. Man, I'm telling you what, I started crying because I'm watching this video, and what I saw was love. I saw joy. I saw unity. I saw family. I saw family. It's like, man, I'm telling you, it hit me. And boy, I guess Harry's downstairs with, you know, thank you, Harry. But it, man, I'm telling you what, it was great. And honestly, you know, I believe we're going to be having another conference next year, right about this same time, toward the end of April. If you can come back, I'm telling you, come back. Because it isn't just the teaching and so forth, but this helps to build a bond within us so that when we leave, when we go back home, that bond is still there. And we have more people that we can communicate with walking this path, and though we're separated by dozens or hundreds or thousands of miles, there's something there. And you know, I encourage you not only to come back, but also encourage others who are looking for something like this. Because the body of Christ needs it. Not that we're better than anybody else, but folks, we're on a path.
That's right.
A path that's been established by the Word of God.
Yes.
Well, for me, you know, being on this path, back in 1996... it was June of 1996, founded a four-tape series that my mom had entitled Walk of the Spirit. It was by a fellow named Dave Roberson I'd never heard of before. But I knew my mom, and I knew that she didn't listen to a bunch of flaky preachers. So I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to, you know, listen to this guy. So I started listening, and I'm telling you, the lights went off, you know, fireworks, I mean, just all this on the inside, because literally, what he taught on that series, it was the answers to what I had been praying to God for months. I was seeking, and I found it. And it wasn't because I thought, well, this guy, he might have the answers. I didn't know who he was, but God knew. God knew. And so I started listening to that, and I mean, I listened over and over and over, and then I started listening again, over and over and over. And I was pastoring at the time. I was a bivocational pastor working full-time at a bank in downtown Dayton. And so I made a phone call. It was in February of 97. I made a phone call out to the prayer center. I didn't know if Dave Roberson was still in ministry or not, but I thought, well, I'm going to try and find out. Well, I found out. He's there in Tulsa. And a lady answered the phone, and I explained to her what was going on, and she said, you know what, I'm going to have somebody call you back tomorrow. I said, okay. Well, I got a phone call the next day from a young man who was there on staff at the prayer center. We talked for almost an hour. Man, I'm telling you what, it meant so much to me. I felt so encouraged. And then he said, you know what, we're going to be having a conference here at the church. It's going to start on Sunday, that first week, very first week of March. He said, you know, if there's any way you could make it out here, well, this is like a week and a half before the conference was going to start. I said, you know what? That's really interesting that you would say that, because as of March 1st, you know, I'm taking a step of faith and I'm quitting my job at the bank to be full-time as a pastor. So timing's going to work out great. So I, you know, this was back before Expedia and all that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it was a little bit harder to make reservations, but I did. Made my reservations and flew out to Tulsa. I didn't even know what Pastor Dave Roberson looked like. Yeah. But I thought, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, he could have three eyes for all I care. So I got out there and it's like, man, you know, well, what happened? The quality of that teaching, I expected to find this massive church with thousands of people. Because in my mind, it's like, who wouldn't want to go there?
Yeah.
Then I actually drove by it the first time I was out there. And then it slowed down, and I thought, wait a minute. Was that it? And I turned around and went back. It's like, yeah, that's it. Gee whiz, where's the rest of it? I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you, I was shocked because I thought it would be really, really, really big because of what I was hearing. I was hearing teaching I'd never heard in my life. And it wasn't, because see, I was looking for, you know, anyway, the answer to the prayer. In that tape set, he was saying, you know, the key to walking in the power of God, going deeper into God and so forth, is praying in tongues. But he didn't just say that on those tapes. He went verse by verse in Scripture explaining why praying in tongues was the key. That this is it. So I went out there, and I remember, you know, I didn't want to, well, you know how it is, first time in a church, you kind of want to sit in the back. That's what I did. I sat in the back. If you walked into the sanctuary, I was sitting in the back, kind of on the right side. And I'm sitting there, basically, I think I was sitting in the very last row. And there are a lot of people there. And as I'm sitting there, all of a sudden, I'm telling you, I felt the presence of God like I'd never felt it before in my life. It's like it just came over me. And I froze, and I'm thinking, who is behind me? Because I honestly didn't know if maybe Jesus had walked in. I wasn't sure. And you know how it is when you want to check things out, but you don't want to be conspicuous, so you pretend you're like your head itches or something like that. So I was like, see? And it was Pastor Dave. He had come out of his office, and he was standing, you know, right there behind me. I thought, glory to God. I've never in my life. This is incredible. And I knew this is it.
Yep.
This is it.
That's it.
And so it also happened that March 97 conference was the first conference that Pastor Bronk had attended. Well, anyway, it's gone from there.
Yes.
And here I am today. And I'm telling you right now, I would not be here today if it weren't for applying what I heard taught. Now, am I the poster child for application of the teaching? No. I'm not. I don't want you to think that I have done, I mean, every single thing, every single day. But I've done some of it. You understand what I'm saying? Pastor Dave has still prayed more in tongues in one day than I have in one day. But I've done this. And I've opened that door for God to move in my life, and now here I am. And boy, praise God. Praise God. Well, that phone call that I received was, you know, like I said, from a young man there at the prayer center. And when I got to the prayer center, I realized, well, he wasn't just on staff. He was also the worship leader at the prayer center. And this morning during our pre-service worship, a big chunk of it was recordings by that young man. And he's here today, Michael Kelly, and his wife Sally was with him. Is she? She'll be with you in a minute. Okay. Yeah. Michael's here, and I'm telling you, listen, I've been around for a while. I mean, look at this hair. I've been around for a while. I've been in a lot of church services. And I'm telling you, out of all these services that I've experienced in my life, every service, every church, you know, I got somebody on the platform leading praise and worship. There's been good. There's been, And then there's been, wow. I haven't experienced too many wows in my life. One of those wows is Jamie. And Harry, I hope you're listening to this. I mean it. You're a wow. Now, Harry, listen to me. You have just begun to tap into the storehouse of anointing that God has put in you. You keep pressing in. You hear me? You keep pressing in and pressing in and pressing in. You keep entering into that secret place of God's presence through worship, because God is going to begin bringing out of you a deeper level of worship. And there are going to be times when you're going to be leading praise and worship, and it's going to feel like the glory cloud of God has entered into the room. And people are going to be healed during the praise and worship, not just because somebody laid hands on them, but because the presence of God was so strong in the service that it literally drove out the affliction. Harry, you have only just begun. And if God tells you to come up here and join with Jamie, that's all right. You know, Pat. Now, truthfully, I hope God doesn't. You know why? Because I want that down in Florida. And I want, listen, this may sound really weird to you, but when that kind of worship is going on in a church, in the realm of the Spirit, it can be like this aura of God's glory surrounding the place in the realm of the Spirit. And you need to understand, demons struggle with that. They struggle with it big time. So Harry, don't you ever leave the prayer center of Immokalee. But Michael Kelly is a wow. And I don't know about you, but when I sit and listen to him leading praise and worship, it comes through the recordings. You know, it just, man, it's so wonderful. And I see Sally has re-entered the room. I've been talking about your husband, Sally. And I can remember there were times out at the prayer center when Michael would be leading the praise and worship and Pastor Dave would invite the Kelly family to come up on the platform. And it would be Michael and Sally and Cindy and his mom and his dad, and they would get up there and it's like, you've got to be kidding me. The whole family can do this. And Seth, they got their son Seth back here. But Seth, that was back before you could even walk. I mean, you were just this little bit of young thing. How old are you, Seth? You're 33? Okay, well, you were around back then. But you weren't a whole lot around back then. I mean, there wasn't much of you back then. But you know what? Wow, look at this. Look right here. Hey, Michael, look at this. You know what this is? This is a PC-88. Have you ever played a PC-88 before? A little bit? Yeah. And good heavens, looky there. There's a microphone right there. Oh, my. Oh, looky what I found, Sally. I found another microphone. Looky there. My goodness. Well, nobody's using these right now. I know. Why don't you come up here?
You're my God. just to dwell, dwell, dwell here forever. This will be my posture, laying at your feet. Just to dwell, dwell, dwell here forever. Just to dwell, dwell, dwell here forever. You, Lord, are the fragrance of my praise. The finest words could never bear my heart. You, Lord, are the essence of my praise. I treasure you for who you are. You, Lord, are the fragrance of my praise. The finest words could never bear my heart. You alone are so worthy. You, oh Lord, are the essence of my praise. I treasure you for who you are. Treasure you for who you are. For you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and you reign in majesty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Be
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I
bless you, Lord.
Bless you for your presence
glory
in my life.
Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you,
thank
Jesus.
You for your presence in my life.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Glory to your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I worship you, Lord. I worship
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I worship you. I love you, Jesus. I love you. Glory, glory, glory and honor to you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I love you. I worship you. In your presence, we are complete. We are complete. There is no lack. Of anything, of anything, of anything. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory and honor to you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Jesus, I magnify you. I love you, Lord. Glory and honor to you, Jesus. Glory and praise to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Bless your holy name, Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory and honor to you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you so much for what you've been doing in us here just these last few minutes. How wonderful. How wonderful. Father, just it's like we've been taking a spiritual bath in glory. So wonderful. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Man, I'll tell you what. You know, where in the world can you go, attend a conference, where you'll have the kind of worship we've had this week? I'm serious. I'm serious. Jamie, Harry, and Michael, my goodness. Speaking for myself, I could have a conference of nothing but the worship. Seriously, I mean that. And, you know, if God so directs, we'll do something like that. Because listen, you can have the best teaching in the world, but there's something about the worship. Like I've said before, you know, sermons are information about God, but worship is an interaction with God. Praise you, Lord. I mean, it feels good. Glory to God. It feels good. And what we're going to do right now is just give each one of the speakers an opportunity to share for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, whatever. I don't like to say closing comments, so let's say it like this, encouraging comments, you know, to go forward from here. So let's see here. How about Brother Elaine? Why don't you come on up here and you start. No, don't change your mind. Please come back.
I was praying last night as to what I would share. Sometimes sharing 5 minutes can be harder than preparing a 1 hour message. We've learned on Sunday evenings to shorten to 30 minutes. That was a challenge so that we could have time to pray or do other things. So last night I had prepared something, and this morning the Lord kind of changed it up, and that's okay. That's good. I want to say what He wants to say. And one of the things that He was bringing to me by the Spirit was, we've learned about warfare this week. We've always been if you grew up in church, at some point in Sunday school, you were learning about being in God's army. So we've always had that association of being part of the army. And of course, we want to associate with being part of Joel's army. That, you know, we're the ones who dream dreams, have visions, prophetic words that move in the power and might of God. And the one thing that seemed clear to me that the Holy Spirit wanted to get across is that each and every one of us who is in the kingdom of God, at one point or another, we will be the one to minister God to somebody. It's not that we become God, the answer to them, but we become the vessel through whom God can be the answer to them, right? And that means we have to make ourselves available. In order for us to be available to a person, though, it means we first have to make ourselves available to the Lord. And the importance of just really, you know, we hear a message and there's a mental assent. I agree with this. I agree with this. Yes, it's true. And most of us could probably teach other people about what it means to pray in tongues and the significance of it. But the actual doing of it sometimes kind of wanes a little bit. Jamie's message this week about, you know, you get really busy with life. You know, these renovations, I'll be the first to admit, you know, I was guilty of untethering because there was just so much to be done. And so, you know, you get up early, you get up extra early to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. And I find that if I, you know, the earlier I get up, the less quality the time is. And when I was in Bible college, I had decided that I would get up at 5 a.m. and give the Lord some time before going to breakfast. And I would get up, I would shower, shave, do all that stuff, go to the prayer room. I'm the only one there. And then I'd promptly fall asleep. And then at one point, the Lord kind of rebuked me and said, "Why are you giving me your worst time? You go out playing all afternoon." And so I had to, anyways, praise the Lord. So in order for us to become vessels through whom God can give somebody the answer they're looking for, we have to make ourselves available to Him and then turn around and make ourselves available to people. I think most of us can relate with Moses at some point in our lives. When the Lord is asking us to do something that isn't exactly part of our comfort zone, I'm more of an introvert. I kind of feel like when I get behind the pulpit, what you get is a bit of a alter ego. It's not really me because I'm an introvert. I would rather not hug everybody 10 times a day. No offense to any of y'all. It's just true. And, you know, I still love y'all. I just don't need to touch you all the time. Or be touched by you. Jamie, you're the exception. Amen. Hallelujah. But Moses, you know, we can relate to Moses. He's being sent by the Lord to Egypt, and he's going to minister first to his people and then go and talk to Pharaoh. And of course, Moses says in Exodus 4:10, "Oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." And you know, people have said maybe he had a stutter. Maybe when he spoke, his voice cracked and he sounded comical or whatever it takes. And so maybe at different points in time, we have felt, "I know you've called me to do something, Lord, but I'm not good enough for that. Or I don't have what it takes. Or, you know, I'm too handsome. I'll be a distraction to even the most pure of women. Surely you can't send me." That's what the Lord told me Bronx said once. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. At the end of his service, Pastor Bronk would ask, "You know, does anyone know what I preached?" And no. So distracted. Hallelujah. But really, the excuses have to cease. Because really, you know, it doesn't matter who we are, it's who He is. So of course, we do our part. We spend that time with Him so that we can become a clean vessel through whom He can flow and minister to people. But it wasn't going to be stuttering Moses who was going to go do great things in Egypt. It was going to be God's wonders who were going to do things. We're just vessels. So if we're speaking to somebody and say, "Hey, you know, Jesus has a word for you," whatever it might be, it's the Lord doing it. It's not us. Hallelujah. So one of the things the Lord has really been speaking to me for a while now, and especially since Okay, as an introvert, I'm not big into promoting myself. And Jamie and I, in terms of Lego Ministries, that's not who we've been. We've never really pushed ourselves and say, hey, we've got what you want. We've got what you need. And yet, in order for us to start to step out and do what God has been telling us to do, there's a measure to which we've had to do that. And some of it is really, Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And so we've, you know, been very, very careful to avoid the death. But the rebuke that I've received from the Lord is, but now speak the life. Speak the life, speak the life. And what is the life that he's telling me about is, speak those things that I've told you about. And so, one of the things that he had spoken, and in particular, right now what we're working on and what's on the forefront or the tip of our spear is worship with Jamie. And that's what we're really focusing on pushing out in terms of our ministry as, you know, we're part of GCC, we're serving Jim Martin, but there's also this other side that the Lord is having us work on, and this worship with Jamie is the spear, the tip of it. And really, we'll spend time in prayer before we actually set out to do it. And, you know, our setup, as Jamie was saying, is very simple. She's in her office, the keyboard's set up, my camera's on a mount, I push record and I close the door, and that way I won't, because it's not a studio. So if I in the background, it's going to get picked up. So I go into the other part of the house, I tiptoe. We even lock the cat up so we're not going to get meowing on, like everything, right? And I'm just praying in another room. But leading up to that was, we bathed it in prayer. And we don't go into it without first saying, Lord, and it's not about reminding the Lord, it's building up on the inside of us an image of what he's told us. And the image is this. The Lord told Jamie a long time ago, and she shared it on Wednesday morning. The Lord had told her, if you will worship me out here like you do by yourself, there will be rooms full of people who are going to be delivered, set free, healed, lives changed, and so forth. And so we always pray that. We declare it because it's not just, oh, we want to put this out into the atmosphere. It's we're building on the inside of ourselves a reality, a word that God has given us. You know, if you, I'm just going to close with this. Part of why it's wrong to lust, for example, isn't just because the Lord said don't lust. It's because if a person continuously lusts and they keep playing these films in their head and they meditate on that, they're essentially rehearsing it. So a man might say, I'm going to be faithful to my wife and I will never cheat. I will never commit adultery in terms of an actual stepping out and committing the very act. But if he rehearses it over and over and over and over again in his mind, he's basically taking down all his defenses. Should that opportunity ever present itself, how will he resist it? He's rehearsed it. So on the flip side, though, in terms of the godly, the pure, the wonderful, we're rehearsing what God has given us. So that's what we need to do. You know, John 14:12, let's rehearse it. Let's rehearse it. Let's rehearse it. So that it's not, oh, I don't know what to do. I know what to do. I've rehearsed this. I've been here 1,000 times before. Laying in bed where I can't sleep. I'm not rehearsing, oh, I got to fix this, I got to do that. I'm rehearsing, I'm laying hands on the sick, and I'm seeing them recover, et cetera, et cetera. Amen.
Hey. Hey is for horses, so somebody would always say. Just a little side note, because this came to me. We've talked about the demons that worship Jesus in the demoniac this week several times. And the Bible says that they worshiped him because they recognized who he was. And if you want your worship to take a turn up, start recognizing him more for who he is. That's going to change everything. It really is. When you get that revelation of who he is, man, you just can't help but worship. That's how it starts anyways. You just can't help it. Who believes they're a part of the Joel's army?
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that's going to be hard. That means that when God asks you to do something, you have to do it. Because Pastor Bronk won't be there. Pastor Jim won't be there. Anyone. Gary. Brother Gary. And I'm not saying you step out and do things in your flesh like your own strength. What I'm saying is, if you're doing what we've all been taught to do and you're listening to the Spirit speak to your spirit and you're in that fellowship and he says, I want you to go do this, you can't stop and say, wait, I got to go get my pastor. It's if you're Joel's army and it's not just the fivefold and it's the Mary Wallpapers and the Joe Publics, that's you. That's me. We have to actually go forth and do that. One of the things that is really, really important to know whenever you're ministering for Jesus, okay? Because we work with him, but we work for him too. It's both. It's this amazing relationship that he just kind of weaves all together. So one of the things you got to know is that Jesus gave the kingdom regardless of the response and regardless if they were worth it, you know, in terms of a natural worth, you know, being of worth, you know, oh, you're not a king, so you're not worth it, or you're in sin, so you're not worth it, and you're a politician I don't like, so you're not worth it. That's not how Jesus ministered. He gave the kingdom no matter what. Wherever he went, he gave the kingdom. Do you remember that the man at the pool of Siloam in John chapter 5? We won't go there because we've done a lot. I'm just going to recap. You remember where he was waiting for the stirring of the water, the angel to come and stir the water, and then the first one in the pool would get healed. And Jesus walked up to him and said, do you even want to be healed? He's like, well, sir, every time that the angel stirs the water, somebody else gets in there before me. And he said, just be healed, and the man gets healed. Do you know that that man did not know who Jesus was? And he didn't, the Bible says he didn't even believe in him. In fact, later when the Pharisees got mad because it's like, who healed you on the Sabbath day? Don't you know that that's a work? They got mad and he said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. In fact, later he ratted Jesus out, didn't he? He said, oh, Jesus said, now go and sin no more. And he ran to the Pharisees. It was that guy. Jesus didn't revoke the healing. And sometimes that's the attitude that we have when we operate in this natural world instead of the kingdom. And I just want to get more and more and more kingdom minded because kingdom always heals. Kingdom always delivers. Kingdom always preaches the gospel. You know, kingdom always forgives. Kingdom always loves. Without revoking because we somehow deem that somebody wasn't worthy of our witness or worthy of whatever the healing or whatever it was. And so if you're part of the Joel's army or of Joel's army is how I should say it, you got to know that this is the things that we're coming up into. When, you know, we want to get to the place. I think it was Pastor Bronk that said this a long time ago. The waiter, was that you that brought that? Okay. You know, you walk up to the table and say, okay, you know, what do you want off the menu? Yeah, we're all contending for that. We're getting to that point. We are, and that's coming. And it's more and more. You guys, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. And get ready, because if you really believe the things that are said, that you're going to be a part of it, then you got to get ready to be a part of it. And that means that you serve from the table. You serve the kingdom all the time, not just sometimes. But how that happens is through the depth of relationship that you have with God that cannot be, you cannot untether from the Lord. Just to call back to that Wednesday, you can't do it. You have to get closer and closer and closer to him because you cannot give to others which you do not possess yourself. You just can't do it. Smith Wigglesworth, I have a quote here. He said, this is Smith Wigglesworth, I am not here to preach salvation. I'm here to preach the Savior. I'm not here to preach deliverance. I'm here to preach the deliverer. I'm not here to preach about healing. I'm here to talk about the healer. When you give people Jesus and it's from your heart because you know him, changes everything. It is absolutely true that as we keep doing the message and stay tethered to Jesus, we will build within us the same type of closeness that Jesus had with the Father. And out of this closeness will come what is needed to minister to others. So it's not to be feared. Don't be afraid. You know, God's training us all, and he's not going to make you jump into a Pastor Jim level, Pastor Bronk level. He's going to make you jump into a you level, but he still wants your obedience. Don't let fear stop you, and don't untether from the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Candace, come up here and stand beside me. You don't have to say anything. They just need to see your beauty. This is my guardian angel. Hallelujah. Forty-seven years of love. Hallelujah. We just love all of you so much, and all of you that are watching. You just mean so much to us. Can we just take you all home with us? Jim and Kathy, thank you so much. We met at a, I guess we met, I'm trying to remember if Jim and I actually had interaction at the conference, the first one, but the stories are so similar. It's just like the same angels that were working him were working me back then. We're both bivocational pastors at the time, and I went out and I knew this, and I'd never seen Dave Roberson either. They didn't even have the picture that they later put in the foyer. But I began to pray about 6 months. No, it was a year earlier. Somebody in 96 started giving us tapes. And I got so hungry that I was about to die. Not physically, but spiritually. I was just aching on the inside. And I said, God, send me a mentor. And somebody started feeding me tapes. And changed my life. I went out there and I was standing in that service and I was so hungry for God. I was looking. I had not seen Dave Roberson. He used to come to a conference, the biggest. It was a huge get together that Candy and I owned a very nice house on an acre of land in Fort Myers. And there was a big church across from us. And I won't say the name, but he was a man that had moved down from Tulsa. Had a large church, and he would bring in, and I won't say the name of all, you would recognize every name that I named, and they would fly in, and they would have a week-long conference, and big names, but he would also bring in Pastor Dave. I didn't even go to those, because I just didn't at the time, but a lady in our church, who is one of our intercessors, would go to one or two services during that whole conference because she said there's a man named Dave Roberson that he's got something that all those other guys don't. And we're not comparing people. But it was a walk of the Spirit. It was a walk of power. And she began to give me those tapes. And it was the same testimony. And it began to feed something. And all I can say is when I was in that first service and I was worshiping, and a man walked in, probably from where he had just been standing next to Jim. And when he walked past me, I began to weep. I began to die inside. I said, oh God, whatever that man has, I've got to have that. And for the last 30 years, along with you, not just myself, we've been pursuing that single place. Now I'm telling you, we're not there yet. But we're going to be. This is awesome and just as supernatural as anything, any message that has ever been preached this week or any moment in worship, just as supernatural is the fellowship that we've had. And I that's why I applaud and appreciate so much because we don't have this except the meeting of this group and those that are watching. And we appreciate so much us getting together. But I'm telling you, we're not there yet, but we're headed there. We're not there fully, but we're going to keep praying. Please, if anything I can say, please, just keep praying the mysteries. Keep going. I'll get on a plane in the morning and go back, and this has been a victorious week, incredibly victorious, and it's another step. But I'll go back to an associate who is naturally, at this point in the natural, he's still blind. I'll look out with many people that I know their situations in the congregation, and some people say, you know, you condemn yourself. You put a. When I spend time with him, in the hours I spend with him, I feel his affirmation. I feel his applaud. I feel him continually saying, I'm pleased with you, son. So I don't say these things out of a humdrum, oh, don't put a wet blanket. I'm telling you, we cannot let the world and the church around us stay the same. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the acts that he did, and greater, because he's went to the Father, must come to fullness. We cannot be satisfied where we're at. We must continue. And I know that you will, and you're the tip of the spear, and I applaud you as well as he does. I love you, Candy, and I love you so much. Thank you so much for being with us this week. Amen.
When I hear these testimonies about, you know, Pastor Dave and so forth, I mean, I shared mine, Pastor Bronk shared his, and, you know, Michael and Sally, they also have a powerful testimony about a history with Pastor Dave. Then I hear people talk about, yeah, you know, somebody gave me Pastor Dave's book, you know, back in, you know, 2014, and I read that. It's like, oh my goodness, that's what I've been looking for. Well, I rejoice with that, and I'm so happy for them. But at the same time, I'm kind of sad for them, because I can go back to 1997. This was before the book was written. And, you know, we sat there in those services and just, well, for those of us who wanted it, we were sponges to soak it up. Now, a lot of people went out there to the conferences, you know, just to, I guess, renew friendships or whatever and just have fun. I don't know, it's kind of weird. I went out there for a reason. I mean, a real reason. You know, I wanted more and I wanted to learn. And, you know, one of the things that, after I had that phone conversation with Michael, it was just a few days later, this big box was delivered to our house. All these teaching series by Pastor Dave Roberson. And, you know, I was never as excited, even when I was a little kid at Christmas time and all the presents were for me. You know, this is better than anything. And I would listen. And I'm hearing Pastor Dave unlock Scripture in a way that I'd never heard anybody teach. Seriously, he referred to it as the teaching anointing. And when that teaching anointing would come on him, I'm telling you, I've never heard a better teacher in the body of Christ, ever. Well, I've heard a lot of good ones, don't get me wrong. But man, Pastor Dave, it just, you know, you could read a passage 30 or 40 times, and then he teaches it. It's like, well, that wasn't in there when I was reading it. Where does he get this? Well, he told us where he got it. He said, you got to pray in tongues. You know, and he taught us how to meditate in Scripture. Out of all the teaching I had ever heard in my life about how to meditate the Word of God, I'd never heard anybody break it down like he did. So you know what? I started doing what he said, and sure enough, the Word of God began opening to me as well. It was absolutely amazing. And you know, this week, so much has been deposited in us spiritually. It's been very powerful. We've had two services where God moved specifically for healing, to minister to people. And, oh man, it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. In fact, last night, Sister Tina, my goodness, you know, there was a healing began manifesting in her body. But she came up. I was back in my office, and I came back out, and it's like, what's all the commotion? And she's over. She almost started doing the boogie woogie. I mean, she was walking like she hadn't in a long time, going up and down. She wore the carpet out over here, going up and down these steps. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. You know, praise God for that. And last night, along with all that ministry for healing, it included the whole concept of, you know, a prayer cloth. And a lot of people don't believe in prayer cloths. In fact, all you have to do is teach publicly on a prayer cloth for healing, And the odds are somebody's going to contact you and, you know, be nice sort of about it, but basically tell you you're dumber than a box of rocks to believe that. Well, I put together, in fact, I sent this out here a couple of months ago. This is a paper on prayer cloths and why they work. Now, there's no formula to this. In other words, there's no E equals MC squared on why it works. But here's the deal. If it's in the Bible and God's behind it, what is the problem? You know, what's the deal here? So anyway, what I have in here, explanation about prayer cloths, and in the back, on the back page, there are a few scriptures concerning healing. Well, like Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. There you go. Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. In other words, no matter what affliction I'm facing, his word comforts me. Now, let's just be honest. From time to time, we all face afflictions. You know, regardless of what, I mean, that's this world. That's just the way it is. And there are several other passages in here. Not a whole lot, just a few. But then the last one is a paraphrase of Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5, where I went back and took Hebrew words, their definitions, and so forth, and I put together a paraphrase of that passage, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 5. I'll just read it real quickly here. Surely he hath taken away our maladies, anxieties, calamities, diseases, and sicknesses. He has used his own strength to perform the labor necessary to bear our anguish, affliction, grief, pain, and sorrow. He was profaned, defiled, and done violence to for our sin, rebellion, apostasy, wickedness, premeditated breaking of God's law, and rejection of God's authority. He was cast down, oppressed, and afflicted to pay the penalty for our perversities, crimes, and depraved actions. The punishment, correction, and discipline for our peace was upon him, and with his stripes he became the physician who mended, cured, healed, and thoroughly made us whole. That's a prophecy that's alive today.
Yes.
And, you know, when this is over, you can come up and take a copy of this if you want to. Make copies, pass it around, doesn't matter, whatever. But I want to share briefly here. I want to tell you a story about healing. Several years ago, a lady was attending our church. And she had been diagnosed with, I don't know if it was muscular sclerosis. I think it was muscular dystrophy. She was confined to a nursing home. On the good days, she had to use a walker to try and get around. But generally, it was a wheelchair. Well, we prayed for her and prayed for her. And we kept speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God. Now, she was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. She believed in healing. And she would speak the word of God and confess healing over herself and so on. This went on for a while. Then one day, she had a miracle, literally. She was totally, completely healed. I mean, totally, completely healed. No wheelchair, no walker, no cane, nothing. She walked around like everybody else. I mean, she was healed. There was no way you would have known she had ever struggled with anything. Well, it was very soon after that I was talking with her. And I said, well, you know, what are you going to do now? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, you've been living there in that nursing home. And she was on, I don't know if it's Medicaid or what, but some kind of government program that paid for everything to help her be in that nursing home, paid for all of her care. I said, well, what are you going to do? I mean, now that you're healed, what are you going to do? And she paused for a moment. She said, I don't know. I would have to get a job and find an apartment. And I could tell she hadn't considered that whatsoever. So anyway, just a very short time passed, maybe a week or so later. And I was talking to her again, and she was telling me, well, you know, that nursing home is my ministry field. And those people need me. So I can't really leave there. I have to be there to minister to them. And I'm thinking, well, you know, you can always go back every day and minister to them and stand up and say, folks, I lived here with you. You saw me. You saw what I was going through. Now look at me. Look at me. I'm healed. Look what Jesus did for me. He's going to do the same thing for you too. Well, she didn't do that. Now, in order to stay on that government program, she had to fill out a form every year. And basically, I guess like an application to stay on the program. But nevertheless, on that form, she had to fill out why she was applying for this. And so she would write, well, you know, I have muscular dystrophy. And then she had to sign it and, you know, turn it in to stay on the program. Well, that's what she did. It was maybe 2 or 3 months later, all those symptoms came back on her worse than before. You know why? That's because in spite of the fact that God had miraculously healed her, she laid claim to and took ownership of that affliction. Because she didn't want to take the responsibility of trusting God to meet her needs. You understand what I'm saying? I'll have to get a job. I'll have to find an apartment. Good glory. If God can work a miracle in your body and you're totally healed, you know what? He can help you with the other as well.
Amen.
Now, here's what I'm getting at. She took ownership of that affliction and totally countered the work of God in her life. I'm saying this because we've had 2 services with healing. People got ministered to. If you leave a service like this, if you leave and take ownership of the affliction you were claiming for healing, you understand what I'm saying? If you take ownership of this, don't expect to see your healing fully manifest. I'm not speaking gloom and doom. I'm just telling you, choose you this day who you will serve. And here's how it works. People get prayed for. People get healed. I'm believing God for my healing. Yes, I've got my prayer cloth. I confess the verses, so on and so forth. And then in conversations with people, they talk about, I have such and such. I have such and such. Well, you know, I still have this summa, whatever it is, whatever the affliction. They claim ownership. And then they wonder why in the world they aren't healed. You know what you're doing? Life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Healing and affliction are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
Healing's a part of life. Affliction is a part of death. And if you continue to claim your illness and your affliction, you know what? How in the world, you're double-minded and your tongue is speaking sweet and salty water at the same time. You're countering the work that God wants to do. And remember, God honors our will. I want you to think about it like this. I'm guessing everybody in this room, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, do you go around telling people you're lost? I just hope someday I just hope someday I get born again. Oh, won't that be a glorious day? Well, no, you don't do that. You know what you do? You tell people you're born again. You tell people I put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm born again. Wouldn't it be stupid to go around and tell people, yeah, I'm lost? Well, I thought you accepted Jesus. I did, but I'm lost. I mean, that's weird. That's weird. Jesus, I thank you. You sent your word. You healed me, delivered me from all destruction. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. By your stripes, I was healed. Do you know what I have in my body? And I've got Gitche Gumi syndrome. I'm telling you, that's what Christians do. Constantly I hear this. You're taking ownership of the very thing you want removed from your body. Now, granted, I understand sometimes we make decisions to go to doctors and there's no condemnation there. But let me tell you what I do when I go to the doctor. I don't look at the doctor and say, well, I have. I'll say, I've been battling. I've been battling. I'm not going to take ownership. I will acknowledge the battle, but I'm not going to take ownership. I learned a long time ago, if I want healing, why would I say I have what I want, what Jesus died to take away? Why would I do that? And I'm encouraging you in this, and those of you watching as well. Praise God for the Word of God. Praise God for the prayers that took place this week, not just in this room, but also by way of the internet. Praise God for the prayer clause. Praise God for our faith to believe God for healing. And I mean that sincerely. But don't counter the work of God by taking ownership of the very thing you do not want in your body. Don't do that. You know, the Bible talks about putting a watch on our tongue, a guard on our tongue. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My words are acceptable when I stand in agreement with what he has said. I sent my word and I healed you. Why are you taking ownership of that which my word has not done in your life? See what I'm saying? Folks, be encouraged with this. Be encouraged with this. It's not condemnation. It's just we've been trained by the world and unknowing Christians to talk the way we talk. But God has done a work in this place. Amen. There have been healings physically. People emotionally have been touched. People have received direction. Just so much has happened during this conference. And so what we do then, we have been saturated with God and His Word this week. So now we take this back to our communities. And we listen to God and we follow His instruction. And we do what He wants us to do. That may not be going and standing on street corners. You just do what He says to do. And then, you remember, trying to remember this clearly. Philip went to Nathanael, was that right? And told Nathanael, guess who I met? And Nathanael says, seriously? I mean, you know this where this guy comes from? Come on now. Well, you know what? Philip told Nathanael what he found. You know what? You guys all found a whole lot this week, didn't you? So you know what I expect? I expect you to go home and say, let me tell you what I found in Dayton, Ohio. Glory to God. In other words, invite people to come back. Amen. Not just so we can pack the pews, but look, we're emissaries for Jesus. And He said, you're to be witnesses unto me, meaning we are to testify and live the life that is a testimony of what He has done and what He will do for everybody. Glory to God. I've so enjoyed this week. I've so enjoyed the fellowship with you. One of the downsides to this is that I really want to spend time with everybody. But logistically, you know, it's impossible. And after every conference, it seems like, you know, tonight or tomorrow, you know, I'll be in bed thinking about, man, you know, I wish I'd have spent more time with, but, and sadly, it just doesn't work out that way. So please, I apologize if my lack of attention has offended you. And I mean that sincerely, because that's not what I wanted to do. But I thank God for the family fellowship we've had, and you have no idea how it blesses me to see you fellowshipping among yourselves. I'm telling you, that touches me. And I just want to give you all a big old hug. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, would you please stand? Thank you, guys. And the worship team, just everybody. What a blessing this week. Well, Father, I thank you for what you've done. And Father, really this week has been like seed sown in us. And I pray that we will water it with time in your presence through prayer and worship and just continuing, Father, to let what was sown in us grow. And Father, all the people that are going to be traveling back home, whether driving or flying, whatever it would be, Father, I ask you to watch over them in every vehicle they'll be in, protecting them from sickness and injury, protecting the vehicles from any kind of damage or mechanical problems, whatever it would be, that flights would not be delayed. that everything would be on time, and that, Father, they would arrive back home safely, in health, and ready to serve you like never before. Jesus, we can never thank you enough for what has happened this week. We love you. We bless you. Prepare our hearts and minds for next year. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you again. God loves you, and we love you. And as Ruthie would say, she loves you more. Hallelujah.